Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. At last, we've come back and we're coming back to good news, to two wins, not just one, but two. Two wins on the bounce. Discuss it with me all is Chris. Chris, good evening, mate. How are we doing? Are we well?
Good evening, Simon. Yeah, I'm well, and you're right. Back-to-back wins, we'll take that, especially against all previous games that we'd had. So I think is it the first time this season we've done so?
I think so. It's a shame, really, because it could actually be three wins on the bounce had we not conceded that late goal against Portsmouth. But hey-ho. But in fairness, you look back at that result against Portsmouth, they are still unbeaten.
Yeah, got a good result against Barnes, didn't they, the following game?
Exactly. So they won 3-1, didn't they? So that could be a good point. But we, you know, it is where it is. But we've got two wins on the bounce. Now, get my teeth back in. We'll rewind it back to Tuesday night. In the EFL Trophy against Lincoln, running out 2-0 winners. And for me, Chris, that was probably our... I know people say, yeah, but it was a reserved Lincoln team. They made 8 changes, fair enough. But you last week said you didn't like the product. They were your words. You didn't like the product. You didn't like what you said on the pitch. On Tuesday, you seemed to be very happy on social media following that performance.
Yeah, can I just correct myself? We have had back-to-back wins this season prior.
Oh, okay.
We beat Fleetwood and then we beat Peterborough, didn't we?
So yes, of course we did.
I take that back before people start writing in and throwing rocks at my house. the product on Tuesday against Lincoln was phenomenal. And it's a shame that only 2,500 fans saw it. And obviously all the viewings on the television stream as well. Look, it proves that if you get the right pace and the right holes, the football is there for all to see. And the squad has got that depth and that ability and talent within its realms, isn't it? What I do not understand is come Saturday, he takes certain players out of the team who performed fantastically against Lincoln, Kane Wilson, Tom Barkhuizen, to name two, who Barkhuizen seemed to have just a natural understanding with Kane Wilson on the right, was flowing with Collins for the first goal with the dummy and Sibley looked strong. And all of a sudden, he dabbles again and the football falls apart. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, we'll stick to Tuesday before we move on to Saturday. But yeah, you mentioned there Tom Barkhuizen and Lewis Sibley. If you remember, on the previous podcast, I predicted we'd win 2-0 and Barkhuizen and Sibley would score. How good am I?
I sure it wasn't 2-1.
I know. Oh, no, wait a minute. I did say 2-0, but then because Nick had said 2-0, I thought I'll go 2-1 instead.
Ah, well, there you go. Then.
But I got the scorers right, so I'm happy about that. Yeah. So for me, the football was great. And I quite like the team. I was trying to work out the formation. It felt like it was like a 4-3-3 formation that you played with obviously Collins up top leading the line, Barkhuizen and Sibley left and right of him, a midfield three of Smith, Fornar, and what's his name? Oh, I can't remember it was now. I feel like an idiot. It did feel like a 4-3-3. I could be lying. I could be wrong. But for me, whatever it was, it worked, and it worked an absolute treat. But what I liked was the actual football we played. There was none of this kick and chase, hope we get a nice ball. Yes, granted, there was a few long balls played, but they were played in the right areas and in the right situations. What I liked was the fact we were playing Embleton, that was the other guy in midfield. I like the fact we played the ball on the floor. And it was 1-2-touch passing. And there was purpose behind the passes. There wasn't just, let's lump it and chase. It was like watching the football that we are used to watching as Derby County fans. If you remember rightly, against Portsmouth, I said I went to that game and I was bored. Because I agree with you, I didn't think it was a particularly entertaining game to watch. On Tuesday night, that was a very entertaining game to watch, and I wasn't bored at all. And it was great to see us playing football like that again.
Well, people were saying that Lincoln City didn't turn up, but I'll say this, their manager, Mark Kennedy, wouldn't have been happy with this team's performance, but I didn't think they were that bad. I thought they were organised. I think the main difference was Derby were very good. Looking at the stats, for the first match I can remember this season, Simon, and I may be wrong, and please feel free to write on social media if I get this wrong, but I think it's the first match this season we've actually been higher in possession stats. We had 66% possession, and it looked that way as well. I think previous matches, we've all been in maximum 45, 48%, and as low as, I think, 28, I think, at Bolton. We had 17 shots on target, peppering Lincoln's goal, of which 6 were on target, 8 were off target. I don't know what happened to the 3, I presume deflection. 676 passes, of which they were very accurate. Let's be honest, Simon. During the evening, the accuracy and the attention to detail of the passing was for all to see. It's phenomenal. You know, and there was only 24 aerial duels the whole game. 24 between the two teams. You know, that's one every, 3 minutes, should we say. It was just a different kind of football. And people say that football, someone said on Radio Derby tonight that we're in League 3 of the pyramid. Football isn't played at this level. Well, I'm sorry, but if you would have seen the game on Tuesday, you would have seen that football is played at this level. If you would have seen the game that Oxford tore us apart, football is played at this level. So
Portsmouth.
And we've proven it. We can play football against a very good, organised Lincoln team who wasn't at full strength, but still we had to break them down. But we broke them down in the right way, Simon. And that's the thing that people have been looking for, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. For me, Barkhuizen was man of the match by far. Everything he touched, it felt like turned to gold. And it was, if you remember, can you remember pre-season when he came off injured and you said his body language didn't look right? He looked like something was up. Can you remember that?
Yep, absolutely.
He looked a completely different player on Tuesday night. That is the Tom Barkhuizen that we're used to. I wouldn't even say we've seen that Tom Barkhuizen at Derby. That's the Tom Barkhuizen that used to tear it up at Preston.
Talented player, isn't he? When he came through the door, if you remember, first signing under the new regime, we both were really excited about it because I thought we even said that this was a signing that sort of shows the world that we're back. And it was one of those signs. We were all surprised that Barkhuizen came through the door. Let's be honest, because we were expecting him to stay in the Championship because he has a record of very little injury. He had a few towards the end at Preston, but they weren't taking him out for a long period of time. But longevity-wise, everyone knows his name as well. It was a marquee is the word I'm looking for. We both thought it was a marquee signing for the level at where we're at. Why don't you think it hasn't gone right for him, though, under Warren? Do you think it's the style of football? Do you think it's just his fitness at the moment's an issue?
I personally think last season it was his positioning. I just think he wasn't accustomed to playing at a wing back sort of role. It was him and Mendes Lang both, I felt, suffered late on in games last season. And they knew they had no backup. when you play when he was played as more of a winger rather than a wing back, we did see the best of him. He did go through a period where, you know, a bit of a purple patch where he was scoring goals, getting in the right areas. But yeah, I'm not quite sure what it is. It might sound wrong, but maybe he was being asked to do too much work, and he's not used to that. If that makes sense.
Well, the position of death, isn't it, wing back? Yeah. There is no footballer in the world that wants to play wing back as their chosen position. It doesn't really exist, does it, as a position? It's a position that's sort of developed itself through the realms of changes of formation. I think they used to call it a wing back in the 40s and 50s, but I think we changed it to full back, didn't we? I think they only called it wing back because ultimately he was behind the winger at the time, because wingers were prolifically a 40s and 50s trait. I'm personally thrilled to see him back. And we'll go on to the Carlisle game. I was gutted that he wasn't in the starting lineup. He came on. I thought he was busy. I thought he changed aspects of the game. And there was a good point made on Radio Derby this evening that, you know, he should be kicking down Paul Warne's door, because I have no idea what Paul Warne saw to put Mendes Langen ahead of him. Do you?
No, not really. I can only imagine it. It's a fitness thing. Because obviously he not really had a pre-season due to injury. He's not played that many minutes. But then again, did he play 90 minutes or near enough 90 minutes on Tuesday night?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, so I don't understand why he wasn't putting. I assumed we'd play a similar team to what we put out against Lincoln, against Carlisle. So we will move on to Saturday.
It was subbed on the 76th minute for Connor Washington.
Ah, right, okay. So, well, damn near enough. So then he goes and... So he played this. It was either a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-3-3 he played against Lincoln. I felt it was more of a 4-3-3, you know, with only having one strike, and that was Collins. Come Saturday then, he goes, right, let's change it. So he changes back to, he's still with the four at the back, but this time it's more of a 4-2-3-1.
Bang on.
But he's changed the personnel again.
Yep.
Obviously, Emberton came out of the team because he was injured.
Surprise. Again,
shock. Another one we've brought.
Which we'll come on to.
Yeah. So we had a midfield of, you know, the two holding midfielders and Corey Smith and Tyrese Fornar. Collins up front, and then Waghorn just behind Collins in the 10. Sibley on the left, Nathaniel Menzlang on the right. Forsyth left back, Cashin and Nelson the centre backs. Obviously, Wildsmith with a goal. And then debutant Ryan Nyambi at right back, who obviously we signed earlier last week. Came straight into the team ahead of Kane Wilson, who a lot of people put for man of the match against Lincoln. And for the first half, I felt we did play some good football. There was some similar style of football that we played against Lincoln. But the second half definitely was just, we reverted to type, and I don't get it. Yes, we got the win. Yes, we've had two wins on the bounce. But against a better team, a performance like that in the second half, you will get punished. If that's a Peterborough, a Portsmouth, an Oxford, a Barnsley, a Bolton, they would have punished us. Because we didn't create anything. We just seemed to sit. It was like we thought, I get, right, sometimes away from home, you get a lead and you sit back and hold on to it, look to you on the counter-attack. But it's not like we're playing one of the teams I've just mentioned. It's Carlisle, the sixth bottom of the league. Why? What happened to the good football? Why is it gone again?
Chris? Well, look, I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to put this out there. I've been told I'm the most negative fan out there, and I'm not. I'm a realist. There's a difference between realisation and negativity. Now, there's realists who also say that Derby are in a position where they can't strive for promotion because of the situation the club in. Get that out of your head. We are under no embargoes. Please stop saying that we're under EFL embargoes. Simon, confirm with me. We are not under any EFL embargoes, are we? A business plan is not an embargo. Okay.
No, it's not. And put it this way, right? There was a website that the EFL had of transfer embargoes and the teams that are under it. So they're under embargo. They can't spend or anything like that. In fact, it was me that... I remember actually tweeting it when I was on Twitter at the time. I tweeted it that Derby are no longer under an EFL embargo, which then got circulated by the Derby Evening Telegraph. So we are under no embargo. Klaus even said it himself in that interview. Go on Radio Derby on Spotify, on the podcast, find the interview, you'll hear him say it. There is no embargo.
Yeah. So
you've got to stop thinking about it. There is a business plan. That's fine. But that's different to an embargo.
Every company, every business has a business plan. The business plan is there to stay within the grounds of FFP. It's not going to be a case of we can only spend pence. Derby County went out on a limb on the last day of the transfer window, as has been highlighted by Paul Warne, to get a top League One player from an opposition club. And they were literally jumping through hoops to get him, and money was going to be spent, and ultimately the deal didn't happen because the other club decided they didn't want to sell him to a rival club. Whoever that may be, we do not know, so we're not going to speculate on that. But I'm getting a bit frustrated with people condemning me, saying that we're in a position where we cannot spend, we're under an embargo, business plan, blah, blah, blah. Yes, we came out of administration. Yes, David Klaus is a phenomenal owner. We've never not said any different. I have never not said any different. I understand the first year would have been difficult. We're now in year two with everything lifted. The business plan is designated by Stephen Pearce and David Clowes, and they've openly said at the forum as well, there is money to spend and still money to spend. Paul Warne even said he was frustrated in January transfer window, Simon. He could have done more. He was offered more opportunity and he didn't take it. So let's get that one out the way and let's move forward. There's no negativity. This is about looking at it with Polaroid glasses on. Yes, we get wins, but we've got wins against Bar Peterborough, who are eighth. And not, let's be honest, not pulling up trees. We've beat Fleetwood, who are where, Simon?
Second bottom.
We've beat Burton. Where are they, Simon?
Fourth bottom, I think it is.
And we've beat Carlisle, who are 19th.
Sixth bottom. 19th, I think it is.
So let's take it into context. The question I'm saying to people is, those performances that we've put in to beat those teams, would they beat teams like our challengers? So we're looking at Oxford, we're looking at Portsmouth, we're looking at Barnsley, we're looking at Bolton, who we've played already, we've played Wigan already, we've played Oxford already. I think before we come on to the Carlisle game, I think there is a real interesting game coming up in 2 weeks' time, which is Blackpool away. And I think you'll really see, because Simon, we've spoke about the transfer window and how we felt. We have not got an issue with the squad that we've got in the door. If you look at on paper, it's a very strong, more than capable promotion winning squad. Don't we agree?
I think on paper, when everybody's fit and we've not got the injuries, then yeah, there should be a team capable of getting playoffs. Not necessarily top three or top two, but I think definitely playoffs. Unlike last season we had a tiny squad. This season we've now got a squad that is big enough to fill the 11 and the 9 subs and more.
And
everybody's fit.
And the bench on Saturday was very strong. I would say Darren Robinson probably was on there for numbers. But ultimately, the bench was strong. Now, going back to the point...
Let's be honest. If Embleton's not injured, or John Jules isn't injured, they're on the bench ahead of Robinson.
Correct.
And Ward. Ward, if Ward's not injured.
Correct. So
Bird. So we've got plenty of players that could fill that extra bench space, and you're going to get where you're looking at players going, "Oh, he's not even making the bench."
And we've got seven out allegedly now, if I remember rightly. They were saying they've got seven out, and we could have we had this discussion with Nick last week. We could have the same discussion this evening. If all those seven are fit, no team ever has a fully fit squad ever. It is not heard of. It doesn't happen. There is no football club in the history of League One or the Championship or the Premiership that will turn around and say every single player in their 24 is fully fit and raring to go. It doesn't happen. This is why you have a squad system, Simon. You know, and the bench still looks strong. Going back to the concern about Carlisle, and yes, we got the win against, I thought, a below average team. I think they'll struggle this year. Let's be honest. We should be going to Carlisle expecting to win, Simon. Let's be completely honest. We're Derby County Football Club.
I fully expect us to get 3 points on Saturday without a doubt.
Now, if we would have lost, all of a sudden, all hell would have let loose. And I would have been partly on there saying that. But I'm not looking at this through Polaroid glasses. I'm looking at this in reality. And the reality is that we had to change our midfield after, I think the first one that went off was Waggy, if I remember rightly. He went off at 60, didn't he? Now, was he absolutely shattered or was he just not causing an influence on the game? Because he didn't press, with all due respect to Waggy, he's not there to press. And he brought on Kane Wilson. Now, Paul Ward said he didn't start Kane Wilson because he's protected him for minutes. But he played there on 40 minutes. Well, to me, if you're fit enough to be on the bench and play 40 minutes, and he did play at a very high tempo, he did sort of have influence on the game as such to an extent, then what are you protecting, Simon?
No idea.
So that's that one.
It.
Exactly. Barcason comes on for Sibley. Yeah, they played together on Tuesday. They look phenomenal together. Yeah, one of them's coming on for the other.
Yeah, he gave Barkhausen 13 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah. And then the other one is that Mendes Lang comes straight back into the team. And let's be honest, was other than the assist, which was it a good decision? Well, absolutely it was a good decision. He assisted James Collins to get a well-crafted goal. And we're not going to talk about James Collins tonight. Well, I'm not going to. We've praised James Collins for weeks and weeks and weeks. Give him the service, he'll score goals. We all know what he can do. Someone said on Reddit Arbor tonight they believe he'll only score 13 to 15. I disagree. I think he'll get 20.
Hold on. Oh, 13 to 15, surely. Surely that's plenty.
Yeah, well, I think
no one cried at Chris Martin when he got 15 goals that season.
No. Well, I think we'll get 20 Everyone's anyway.
At the end of the day, when you've got someone like, if you've got Waghorn and you've got Collins and they're both pitching in with 15 goals, that's 30 goals. You then got to look to the likes of Barkhausen, Mendes Lang, Sibley, pitching with another 10. Do you know what I mean? That's 60 goals there.
I think you're going to need to score 80 plus to get into the top two or three. But what I will say
you've
is...
You've got to look at Washington. He's got a pitch in with at least 10.
But he's 70. He's barely played.
Who? Washington. Washington started every game. He's just not getting chances. Personally, I still don't think...
He was on the bench against Carlisle, wasn't he?
Yeah, but other than that, since he's been in, he's started, hasn't he, the last four, five, six games, and he just doesn't. For me, Collins gets a load of shite. Yeah, you know, saying he's rubbish and stuff like this. Couldn't hit a barn door. He's not had a great deal of chances. He's not had a great deal to snuff out. But he works hard. Yes, granted, he does. But what he does is hold the ball up. And when he gets the ball, he tries to do something with it. Washington, I'm failing to see what he actually brings, apart from running off the shoulder of defenders.
We said this, didn't we, when he got signed. And he got that tapping against Burton, and that's it, really.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that was from a scuff shot from Waghorn. Yep,
I agree. So going back to the game, Simon, and this is, I'm going to throw this back at you. So we spoke about how good and fluent the football was against Lincoln, and Derby did nearly 700 passes, had good possession, 60-odd%, and peppered the goal, didn't they? 17 attempts, which we would expect for Derby County Football Club. Right, we go to Carlisle, we make those changes, we get 45% possession, we only have 9 shots all game, of which only you could class, they're saying that 6 were within range of the goal. We only made 330 passes, Simon. Where have we lost nearly 400 passes from? You cannot say, don't tell me that Carlisle reduced Derby to reduce their passing game from nearly 700 down to 334. This is Carlisle, for Christ's sake. This ain't bloody Tottenham Hotspur or Man United. And then the other thing that really frustrated me, we were just talking about aerial duels that we barely had any against Lincoln because the game was played on the floor. There was bloody nearly 50 aerial duels again against Carlisle. So over one every minute. That pitch is huge at Carlisle, isn't it? It's a big pitch. It's a nice pitch. So what on earth happens between Tuesday and Saturday to see two completely different teams? Yes, we got the win, and I'm thrilled to bits we got the win. But I'm really, really concerned, Simon, and I'll put this back to you, that we cannot keep being Jekyll and Hyde.
That's a good analogy. This is it. I don't understand it as well. I mean, as I said, I felt first half we were probably there was some really good football being played, and I think maybe there was the first half we had 203 passes, right, and the accuracy of that was 71%, right, and we did, and I felt then the second half. So what did I say the first half was?
71%, just over 200.
So 203, second half then. We made 131 passes, only 65 accurate passes.
Shocking.
That is where you're at.
Do that against Barnsley, Simon. What happens?
You get they'll just punish you. I'm with you, Chris. I'm happy we got the win. And a win's a win at the end of the day. But, and again, I almost let that first half performance, which I felt was good, and I thought, right, okay, that's fair enough. He's changed the team around. He's brought some different personnel in, and they're still managing to sort of play a style of play that worked well on Tuesday. But the second half, I don't get it. It's almost as if, like, I know Paul Warren is stubborn with a three at the back. He is desperate to play a three at the back, but clearly he's finally worked out after, 10 games now, it doesn't work, regardless of the players he's brought in. Then he puts them out against Lincoln, and they played some lovely football. Lovely football, some lovely passing stuff, movement, 1-2-touch passing. And do you know what was the best thing, actually? Against Lincoln, we moved it out wide and got balls into the box, but no one was in the box. Second half, we didn't. We went, stuff this. We're not getting numbers in the box. Let's play it through the middle. And that's where the two goals came from. Not going out wide, going through the middle. Go back to Carlisle. We tried the same thing, but we did get numbers in the box this time. And ultimately, that's where Collins' goal came from. You know, we got Mendes Lang at the byline, hooking it, a ball back across. Collins there, great finish. So his plan worked, but then you go into the second half, and as I said, it's either, I don't know, either too tired, too lazy, don't want to work, gone, we've got a 1-0 lead, it's Carlisle, they're not really causing us any problems, let's just sit back and we'll get the win and look to hit them on the counter. You know, at the end of the day, I felt the substitutes changed the game. When the subs came on, we started to pass the ball again. And ultimately, that's, I guess, where the penalty came from, because we got the ball into the box. We had Collins, who, you know, worked hard, got his penalty, and then obviously slotted it. But there was a period between, I would say, the 46 minute and let's say the 60, let's say the 70, 75th minute that Derby were not in that game.
Oh, it was awful.
It went back to boring football again. And when you watch Carlisle, who, no disrespect, are a great team, it's boring as well. And you're thinking, this is just, what's happened here?
They
have to question that the half-time team talks. I mean, I didn't listen to Paul Warne's post-match interview. Didn't have chance. I'm assuming he said the same thing as he says every week. Yeah, there were bits we were good at, bits we could do better. That's generally his interviews in a nutshell at the minute.
Yeah, he basically went on for 6 minutes like using that analogy, so spot on. And again, we're not being negative. We are looking at this as reality, a realist. Carlisle will not get above the top. They'll struggle to get the top 15. I just don't see it. And I think if they stay within League One, that's a success for them and the stability, because they are potentially a club the size of, I would say probably a Rotherham. They have 10. They could easily get 10,000 to 11,000 every week at Carlisle. They do like the football. They've had recently bad times, but I'm pleased that Paul Simpson's got some stability. But look, we're Derby County, and we keep going on about this. The other thing I will say is, why are we playing two holding midfielders? Are we playing them because he wants to give Fornar and Smith a game? Because you can't turn around and say we did not have the personnel to go for them, because you had Barkhuizen and Wilson on the bench, who would have made that formation far more attacking, Simon. If they would have been in at the start, Wilson and Barkhuizen, with Nyambi, which I think has been a great signing, and I'll take my hat off. See, I'm not being negative. Ryan Nyambi, best free signing there was out there, and we got him. 200 games under the belt, fully fit, been playing for Namibia. He's proven that he's a 7 out of 10 all day long. So,
I tell you what, he did not look like somebody that not had a club. When I saw him in, I was like, what? You've dropped Kane Wilson, who's had the game of his life against Lincoln, and you've put a guy that's only been with us a few days, and wow. Do you know what? He's got pace.
Yep.
He has got pace. And I felt that he was working down that right-hand side. He was working well in the first half with Mendes Lang. And defensive-wise, solid. You know, the fact that he's got pace means players can't gas him. I think he's quick on the turn as well. I don't know what his injury record's like, but I'm surprised that he's been released, to be honest. And I'm glad, actually, we've picked him up, because he does look a really good player.
Well, he played a lot of games for Blackburn in League One, but he played a lot of games in the Championship. He's got over 200 games in, and for, I think he's only, what, 25? He looks about 35, yeah, 25. Bless him, but he's only 25. So 200 games at 25 is good consistency. I think he had a bit of an injury blip at Wigan, but he's kept himself in. Fair play to Paul Warne, great pickup. I'll take my hat off for that. But we could have gone attacking. We could have put Wilson on. If Wilson was available for 41 minutes minimum, I don't see why we couldn't have started him. I'd have been, Derby County fans would have been so excited to see. Wilson has proven without doubt he's got ability on the ball. He wants to attack. He said when he got signed, he wants to attack players. He likes the ball at his feet. He likes to run at them. He's clearly got pace and he's got skill. To me, he should have played. Barkhuizen is the most naturally gifted two-footed player we have. He's got a fantastic left foot. He's got a fantastic right foot. He's got a footballing brain. He's a quick person as well. This guy can move with the ball. And I was so disappointed to see them on the bench. And when they both came on, they made impact. Now, I'm going on about, we won the game. Okay, I'm going on about my opinion. But my opinion stands that I don't think that formation with two holding midfielders, that we made how many passes against Simon in the second half, just to confirm?
131
in 50-odd minutes. That is not going to rip you up the table. It just isn't. And the other thing I'll say, and I mentioned this on the radio tonight, Curtis Nelson got man of the match, I think, that again, two games on the trot, I think. So when I think my point of view was misunderstood by Eric. My concern was, and I think Dom picked up actually, my concern is when you're getting man of the match and you're playing at the back, that tells you you're under the cosh. That tells you, I would much rather have a man of the match every week who is your attacking midfielder, your centre forward, your left wing, your right wing. You know what I mean? Someone who has got on the ball and just caused absolute bedlam in the opposite.
Yeah.
And we're at the moment, we're giving it the centre off.
Well, yeah, how many times last season did Cashin get man of the match? It almost felt like it. Well, put it this way, do you know, here we go. Because obviously when it's done on Rams TV, right, the man of the match is picked on by Sean Barker. It felt like last season when we were winning, man of the match was McGoldrick because he scored. When we were drawing or not winning, it was always Cashin because we were under the cosh. I think, you know, I felt Nelson had a little bit of a sticky start, but I felt he's really grown into the team. He's grown into what it's like to play at Pride Park. Him and Cashin seem to be forming some sort of partnership at the back. So he has to take some credit because I think, again, he is another player that, you know, we both felt when we signed him, good signing. Very good signing, and he's proven that, you know, he's a good player, and he's solid, and he feels like at the minute he's Mr. Reliable. That's what he feels like. He feels like, you know, if another defender makes a mistake, he's there to cover. So I'm all for that, and I will actually bring up Sonny Bradley, who played against Lincoln.
Good point. Yep,
didn't put a foot wrong.
Nope, I thought he looked quite astute.
Yeah, he did. I know he obviously put Cashin on the right-hand side rather than the left, which he normally plays, or opposite, opposite or whatever. We put him on the opposite side, but I felt as fans, we are quick to jump on players' back. Sonny Bradley, he made a mistake which didn't even concede a goal. But ultimately, he got the blame for the loss against Bolton because of one mistake that didn't lead to a goal. It just led to a red card. But ultimately, for me, Sonny Bradley, I feel it is. We all feel he's a good player. Me, you and I both said it. And I think he was. I personally think he was brought there to be captain of this squad, which we both reiterated about his 11-minute interview. So why he's not, I don't know. But for me, I just think he's had a bit of, yes, he's made a couple of mistakes, a couple of them have caused goals. But for me, I think we've got three really good centre-backs in Sonny Bradley, Cashin and Nelson. I like the fact that Callum Elder's getting minutes as well. He looks to seem to be improving with every game he has. So again, you've got that, obviously, a task between him and Forsyth on the left. On the right-hand side, it's anyone's guess now. You've got Wilson that can play right back. You've got Niambi that can play right back. And you're looking through the squad now, and you're looking at the teams. Players are starting to put in good performances. What we're lacking at the minute is a consistent, apart from Lincoln, is a consistent 90-minute performance. Now, again, it goes back to, again, a win's a win. Great, fantastic. We've got two wins on the bounce. If we go get a third one, even better. You know, we've got Cambridge at the weekend, which we'll come to. But I'm with Chris. I'm kind of with... It's a tough one because for me, it's, well, we're winning the games. So it doesn't really matter about the performance. But you said it. If we play like that against one of the top teams... It isn't going to happen. I've said it as well. If you play out against one of the top teams, we're not going to win. We will get beaten.
But you will. It's inevitable.
But my issue is, probably the same as yours, is how can we go from playing nice football against Lincoln? And I don't want the excuse that, yeah, well, they played their reserves. That, for me, is bullshit. Because regardless if they played the reserves or not, We played a different style of football. We played with the ball on the floor. Now, for me, Paul Warren's going to have to upset a few players by dropping them. Collins doesn't deserve to be dropped. Barkhuizen doesn't deserve to be dropped. Sibley, for me, doesn't deserve to be dropped. Them three, Wilson, doesn't deserve to be dropped. Them four need to be in this starting lineup. And if that means dropping somebody like Waghorn, dropping somebody like Mendes Lang, this is football. It's part and parcel of it. Earn your way back into that squad.
Yep, absolutely. I've just been looking through some of the games that were played at the weekend, and there's a lot of teams that are averaging 400, 500 passes for the game, which is good for, which is obviously football played on the floor. I what worries me, and again, okay, look at the positive. We got 3 points. It takes us to 13. We're only six off top with a potential game, with a game in hand. That's great. And the league is again, proven itself as it's done every week so far. It's poor. It's a really poor league. Now, what I will say is this.
Just for your bounce on that, I was listening to TalkSport today, and they're on about Sheffield United's demise against Newcastle at the weekend. And interestingly enough, Darren Bent said last season he felt the League One was tougher than the Championship.
Really?
Yeah. He felt there was bigger teams in League One last season than there was in the Championship.
Well, Ipswich are proving that, aren't they? And Plymouth are doing decent. That's really interesting. Although Sheffield Wednesday are struggling. Yeah. Can you imagine if both Sheffield clubs go down? They both went up last year. Imagine if they both come down. I will be absolutely, I nearly swore then, but I'll be wetting myself.
Yeah, but you do look and you go, last season was probably was one of the toughest league ones there's been in a while regarding the teams that are in it. And we finished seventh. This season, nowhere near as tough.
Well, the top three got over 90 points, two getting over 100. I think the top six, I can't remember what we finished with now. So you compare that to this year. So at the moment, we're 5 points behind Oxford. And I think Oxford have been the best team that I've seen so far this year. Would you agree?
I'd agree with that. No argument, really. So Portsmouth were good, but I felt Oxford played better football.
Yeah, so Oxford, if I remember rightly, lost their first game. And then I think they've won six and lost two. They're 5 points ahead of us already after eight games. And they're consistent. Let's be honest, they're now consistent. They had a couple of blips early and now are playing good football and are steamrolling teams. Their form, if they have that form again over the next eight games and we have our form over the next eight games, we're going to be 10 behind after 16. Now, that's not being negative. That's being what you're saying, consistency. Whoever takes this league by the scruff of the neck and stays consistent after every, in blocks of 8 or 10 games will automatically get in the top two. You know, Portsmouth are top of the league because they're unbeaten. They've won five, drawn four. I'd fear Oxford more than Portsmouth at the moment because of the fact that they've won six games and won them well. Stevenage, I think, is just a freak. I think they won't be there. I think Port Vale are a freak. Barnsley are starting to get their act together. I want us to see consistent. I want us to be consistent.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, it's all right.
I look at Stevenage. They beat Northampton, beat Shrewsbury, beat Cambridge, lost against Reading, drew against Portsmouth, lost against Exeter, he'll beat in the Cup, beat Leighton Orient, drew against Carlisle, drew against Charlton, and then beat Cheltenham. So, to be honest, they are beating teams that are probably going to be, you know, mid-table to bottom half of the table. You'd expect them to sort of win. You know, to maybe get results against them. So yeah, I do think it at the minute it is a fake position. I mean, yeah, and Port Vale again, they lost against Burton, to be honest, but they've played the likes of Northampton. They beat Oxford, but Oxford had 9 men. But again, it was their start that's done them. They lost 7-0 against Barnsley on opening day. Then they beat Reading at home, drew against Blackpool, beat Charlton, and beat Carlisle. And again, beat Oxford. So they've had some lucky wins in there, to be honest. But now I think you look at it and you go, right, so you've kind of beaten the teams that are up there, or you know, one way or another, but you've lost then against Burton Albion. And then you've drawn against Cambridge. So I think you're right. They are just going to be a flash in the pan. The only team up there that, you know, Barnsley, I think, will be there. Exeter could be there. I do feel Exeter could be there, in all fairness. They've been pushing for the last couple of seasons now. And I think it's, you know, it might just be that time where they do make it into the top six.
I think consistency comes from consistency on the pitch, and we are at the moment not consistent in our performances, other than the fact they're boring, bar the odd one. Now we have got,
and I think you're right, I think you've nailed that about consistency okay. On the pitch last season with the tiny squad we had, You could pick the same squad every game. Let's be honest, you could. How many times do we go same 11, and it was. So the team on the pitch, it took him a couple of games because obviously he tried different ways, different means, different formations, and when he got one that worked, it worked, and he just stuck with it. The downfall came in when we started getting a couple of niggling injuries, and we brought other players into the frame, like Harvey White. The guy from Norwich that was dog, can't remember his name, that's how good he was. That for me is when we started getting a bit of a downfall, is when we had to sort of change the squad. So he is tinkering at the minute, and again, it is probably down, due to the injuries we've had. But yeah, you're right, we do need to start being consistent on the pitch, and that means for me, picking a consistent 11 where possible. And I think that's something that any real successful team needs to do, is pick pretty much the same 11 week in, week out. That for me is the only way you can be consistent, if you've got a consistent team. So I think for me, Paul Warren needs to find something that works and stick with it. And if that means putting the team out that played against against Lincoln, so be it. Upset a couple of players, they've got to deal with it. This is the big boys game now. This is, it's not school, it's men's football.
Yeah, and Derby have got an opportunity to become a consistent team, an attacking consistent team. If you have Barkhausen, Sibley in that team with Wilson, as they've proven on Tuesday, they are the three flair players that we really have. Mendes Lang, I don't class as a flair player. I just think he's very direct. I don't think he's
flair. It's his pace, isn't it? It's his pace. It's the pace, yeah.
But three or four times he hit their 18-yard line with pace. And let's be honest, hadn't got a trick or didn't know what to do with it. And I think he lost the ball every time. I think one situation, I think he fell over with it. And you're not going to get that with Waggy. You're not going to get that with Washington. They are... Come 55, 60 minutes, those three players I've just mentioned will not see you past 60, 65 with any more than 70%, 60%. I understand you have a bench for that, but I would like to see a consistent 11 of pace. You bang on the money regarding size of squad. You don't need to have a big squad to have consistency. You need to have a squad that's balanced, and you can play around with 14 or 15 players but still maintain the style of football, the pacey attacking football that will get you to the promised land of promotion. And it comes back down to another thing, which we'll finally touch on before the end of the show, is we've lost Tyrese Jones-Jules already. And that's one player we haven't even mentioned yet, or any other pods or online have mentioned. This is a guy that we were absolutely, well, I was ridiculed by not giving him a chance on X or Twitter by saying I was condemning a guy before he put a boot on because of his injury history. And I was even told by one guy that he didn't have injury history. He has got injury history. And lo and behold, he breaks down. And he breaks down for a reason. And I feel for the lad. He must be a great guy. He must be absolutely gutted. And I'm not here to condemn the guy. I'm here to talk about Derby County and what we need to get promotion. And unfortunately, Tyrese Jones-Jules isn't the kind of player we need, Simon, for promotion, because he's not going to give you what we've just said previously, consistency. We need to have pacey players on the pitch with skill, with guile, with a knowledge of how to play football. And until Paul Warren starts playing adventurous attacking football, and he has got, let's take the injuries out of the way at the moment. We haven't had Conor Hourihan for the last two games. I thought without Hourihan on Tuesday, I was really pleased, because I think some elements, Hourihan slows the game down. We know he's a good dead ball player, Simon. We know he can craft a crossing from a dead ball situation. But when we are flowing as a team, he hasn't got the legs, has he?
No, he's not. Just on the injury history for Jones-Jules, it's amazing what you can find on the internet these days. So 2021 for Doncaster, he had a thigh problem. He was out for 48 days, missed 14 games. Same season, he had a torn muscle. This is 2021, out for 86 days, 24 games he missed. And then last season, hamstring injury, out for 110 days, missed 21 games. So to say he's not got an injury record is a bit of a myth, because oh, clearly he has. You know, and again, so the injury he's got is a thigh strain, he's going to be out for a month. So he can't catch a break, the poor kid. But yeah, just on the midfield then. So we were all expectant of Tyrese Fornar. You weren't very impressed with him after his first game. You're so judgmental, Chris.
I'm not judgmental.
But yeah, in fairness, you bloody well are. But in fairness, you may have had a good point. But you're right. When you've got him in that side, he's quicker, he's snappier, he's sharper. He knows where he's going to pass that ball before he passes it. And boy, he can deliver a pass. If you watch the Barkhausen goal against Lincoln, look at that diag that Fornar puts to Kane Wilson. It is on the money, and that's where the goal comes from. And I just think with more games, he's going to get better and better and better. And I think when Hourihan's fit, he doesn't jump back into this team. You know, when we had that, the three in midfield of Fornar, Embleton and Smith, Smith was the holding midfielder. And he held the midfield. He came to take the ball off the centre back, passed it to Fornar, passed it to Emerson, let them do it, and just sat in his position. That's what you want for a CDM. Let the other two midfielders do the magic. So this is where Warren, for me, he's got to look and go, I want to play like this, but shit, we actually play better like this. For me, Hourihan, he cannot possibly, at the minute, jump back in this team.
No.
You know, and that let's say Liam Thompson's fit, it comes back before him. Who'd you put in the team? Do you put Hourihan in or do you put Thompson? For me, you put Fornar, Thompson and Smith in that midfield.
You know, actually, I'd probably...
And then you've got Bird to come back.
You see, me personally, I look at that midfield and I think Sibley's a natural number 10.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think Barkhausen needs to be wide right in midfield. I think that Kane Wilson has made a point now that he could play inside right, a more attacking option. I really liked what I saw when he's on the ball and he attacks, as I've referred to previously. he does excite me. I was one who was really concerned about him because, again, another player with history of injuries, but he has been one of the ones that has proven me wrong. Although Paul Warren has said again, he's protecting him. Now,
do you know what I like about him?
Go on.
Is with Kane Wilson, with flair players as he is, you know, players that like to take defenders on, what generally sort of happens is they'll try it once, get tackled, try it twice, get tackled, try it again, give up. Kane Wilson doesn't seem to give up. If he doesn't beat you, he'll still go at you. I think he's brave. He's got no fear at all. It doesn't matter if he gets tackled. He will still carry on trying to take on the fullback or take on whoever. I really like that about him because I just think, you know, some players, when I look at Mendes Lang, last season, you know, you say he's direct, which he is, he's pace, he'll knock it past you and run past you. There's times this season, if he's tried to do it once, he's failed and he's not bothered for the rest of the game. So for me, that's where I like Wilson, and I would prefer Wilson over Mendes Lang because Wilson will carry on and he will try and take that player on, and he will consistently try and do it, even if he doesn't get past him the first time. So for me, he has to be in that starting lineup, regardless. Even if he can only give you 60 minutes, he has to be in that starting lineup.
Yeah, I agree. You've got to play attacking football. Cambridge, let's be honest.
Let's move on to Cambridge then.
Yeah.
We'll move on to Cambridge.
Last 5 minutes of the show. Let's talk about Cambridge. Cambridge aren't pulling up any trees. They're on exactly the same points as us. I think they're within 2 goals of us, if I remember rightly. I think we're +5 and they're +3. But I think we've both won 4, drawn 1, lost 3.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, exactly.
Well, there you go.
So they beat Oxford on the, you know, opening day. That's a local, is that a local derby ish kind of, Cambridge and Oxford?
They call it the University Derby, don't they? But Cambridge is near. Is it? Would you? Yeah, it's not far from there. I'm not very good with UK geography, but Cambridge is King's Lynn. It's sort of the east side, either.
But yeah, regardless, they beat Oxford. They then beat Fleetwood, which even anybody can beat Fleetwood at the minute, you would have thought, unless you're Burton Albion. but then they lost against Stevenage. Then they beat Bristol Rovers, lost against Leyton Orient, beat Reading, lost against Peterborough, lost against Wigan, drew against Port Vale. So again, it's just another team that, you know, people say you can't judge a team on the start of the season. You know, Cambridge had a flyer. Now they're starting to sort of, by the looks of things, reality is catching up with them. So I don't see any reason why Derby shouldn't be getting all 3 points against Cambridge.
We should be annihilating them at home, Simon. It should be a home banker and playing good football. They will be out. It'll be like most other clubs that visit Pride Park this year. It'll be their game that they all want to go to the best stadium, to the best fans, to the best crowd, to see the best pitch.
It was a horrible game last season, though. It was New Year's Eve, wasn't it? It was the 30th of December. Cold Tuesday, cold. Was it a Tuesday night or something daft like that? And Dobbin scored, didn't he?
Yeah, it was
got the winner. It was a header, weren't it?
Because away at Cambridge was Paul Warren's first game, wasn't it? If I remember rightly.
Yeah, 2-0 Dobbin and Asula.
But I just feel that we should be going on Saturday with the similar emphasis that we did on Tuesday. I'd quite happily see the same team, Simon. I'd love to see it.
So let's pick the teams then. So I'm assuming you go Wildsmith in goal.
Yes, Wildsmith are going goal because of unfortunate circumstances elsewhere, and sad circumstances, terrible circumstances. I think that Wildsmith are going goal. So the back four against Lincoln, there's probably an argument of the right back, to be fair. But he played Wilson, Cashin, Bradley and Elder. And even Elder was pushing forward, wasn't he? And I don't know if Elder's being rested again because he didn't come on against Carlisle, if I remember rightly. He was on the bench. There's an argument that you could actually fit Wilson in and Nyambi. Nyambi's going to stay there at right back. That's inevitable.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Then you would have thought that the centre back pairing of Cashin and Nelson won't change.
But I'd be happy to see Wilson at right back as well if it wasn't Nyambi. But I'd be happy to see Wilson warm and brave and have him.
Yeah,
I'm getting excited.
What about left back then?
Oh, there's
left back? You've got Fozzie, who was captain against Carlisle, or you've got Elder.
Yeah,
Fozzie's not really put a foot wrong.
No, but
neither is Elder.
True, but I would probably, of what I saw, if Elder's fit, I'd probably go with Elder.
Interesting.
I don't know if
Elder as well, personally.
I don't know if Elder had a knock during the week and he was resting, or whether he saw something in Fozzie, because he always says he chooses the team based on training as well, you know, what he sees behind closed doors.
Of course.
I would get rid of the two holding midfielders. I would probably. Now, Smith was the holding midfielder against Lincoln, and Fornar was all over the place, wasn't he? He was playing an almost.
He was number eight, wasn't he, really? Number eight.
That's... Yeah. And it allowed Sibley and Barkhuizen to really go and do what they're good at, which is get on the ball and attack, knowing that Fornar and Smith were dropping in behind him. And remember Embleton, who is injured now, was.
I'm still not a massive fan of him for the two.
I think he's come to the club in a confused state of mind. I think the Sunderland situation hasn't helped. One minute they want him, then they don't, then they do. Then his injury history tells you that he's got inconsistency in his form, because he's had quite. He was at Blackpool. He was in and out of the team there, and he's been in that team at Sunderland. I just think he's one of those players that is struggling to find a home. And whatever that is, and the reasons, you know, is he at Derby for the right reasons? I think that's what you've got to ask yourself. To get fit, fair enough. If that's a genuine reason, fair enough. I just think that there's now the option of playing one holding midfielder. I think Smith or Fornar can play that role. And I think you've got to choose between the two of them.
I personally would go for Smith. Reason being, he doesn't concede as many fouls as Fornar does.
Yeah, I think Fornar is at the moment.
He's been booked twice in three games, hasn't Fornar has.
And let's be honest, he should have. There's an argument that he could have gone against, was it Fleetwood at home?
No, Portsmouth.
Was it Portsmouth? Yeah.
Portsmouth at home.
I think it was Portsmouth.
He took the ball away, didn't he? And he got the yellow card for that. Then he did commit a foul shortly after.
Yeah.
And I think she was a bit like...
That's right. It was Portsmouth, because she was very gentle with him. I think other referees would have sent him.
On your bite, mate. Yeah.
And I think he got a very early booking the following game. I think
Was it Lincoln? It was Lincoln, yeah. He got booked against Lincoln in the first few minutes. That ref, though,
fourth minute. That's right. He got booked against Lincoln in the fourth minute. So we're talking about consistency. There you go. Tyrese Fornar is the most consistent being booked in the team. But it's you've now got the likes of you bloody use the players. You've got Barkhuizen and you've got Sibley. You'd have them both in the team again. We know what they can do together.
See, personally then, I'd have, obviously the back four, I'd have Elder, Cashin, Nelson and Nyambi. That midfield three for me, Smith as your holder, Fornar and Sibley as your two in front.
Yep. Your two up front.
Then obviously, you've got to go, you've got three up front. Are you going three up front? That's the... For me, Barkhuizen's got to be there.
Yeah, Barkhuizen, Collins. Wilson. And I'd probably... Barkhuizen can play wide left and has proven he can play it. He's got two fantastic feet. There is an argument to put Wilson on the right, Barkhuizen on the left, and Collins. I think the honeymoon for Wagyu, bless him, is now surpassed. And I think we're now... I just think that Wagyu's impact against Peterborough is incredible. But I think I much prefer the football that I saw on Tuesday. And I'm not sure that Wagyu's game fits that.
I don't think he linked up very well with Collins at all.
No, I think they're both much of a likeness. I think Collins accepted that Barkhuizen likes to bring those late runs through. Like that dummy, that goal was beautiful. In fact, both goals are beautiful, and we haven't really spoke about them. But you know, they're the first two goals we've scored through good open play through the middle that didn't need that wide ball run down the line, bomb it in, hopefully someone gets ahead on it. We actually played crafted football, and I was for the first time this season, and I know some people will be gobsmacked here, I was excited. I actually thought, wow, we've finally found the style of football, the 4-4-1-1 that works. Let's be brave, Paul Warne. Let's be brave. Let's stop looking at names. Let's look at square pegs and square holes. I'd much rather have square pegs and square holes, as it seemed to me on Tuesday you had it spot on. There wasn't one round hole with a square peg hammered into it, was there?
No, not at all. The players, they were there. They knew exactly what they needed to do. Again, as I said, you know, I was shocked that he changed it so much. Obviously, I got the Embleton thing. He's injured. He has to change, put someone else in midfield. But for me, we've just named the team. You know, you could quite easily fit all those players in. At the end of the day, you want to start with the team who you think is going to create the most damage. And let's be honest, if you've got someone like Barkhuizen, Wilson, Sibley, Collins, that are going to give you a shift and give you everything for 70, 80 minutes or whatever, you've then got the option to bring on Mendes Lang, who is probably going to give you more when he's only got to give you 20 minutes or so than he is when he's got to try and give you 60, 70. Because he can condense all that energy that he gives in the 70 minutes, put in that 20 minutes. You know, so you've got options to come off the bench. You've got Waghorn that could come off the bench.
Yeah,
you've got, I suppose, Washington. If you've got tired defenders and they are pressing up or whatever, you've got someone that can get in behind and come off the bench.
The nice thing is...
For the first time in I don't know how long, we've got options off the bench that can change games. You know? So... I get it. We have got, you know, still, you know, we've got players out at the minute. Fair enough. You've got your Rooney's out, your Bird's out, your Horahan, your Liam Thompson's. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head at the minute. That's out. Oh, John Jules, Embleton. That's six. Who's the last one? Can't think at the minute. But that's six players there that are going to struggle to get straight back into this team, in my opinion.
Ward. Did you say Ward?
Ward. There we go. That was it. Ward, seventh. So there's your players that are out. Them seven players there are good enough for a team to give you two thirds of a team. Yeah. There is strength, and there is a lot of strength in this squad. It's now up to Paul Warren to choose the right formation and the right personnel.
You can play the style of football you played against Lincoln with any of those people that are not in the squad now that can go straight into any square peg. So you can have Ward playing attacking on the left. You can have Max Bird playing holding midfield. You can have... I think there's a bit of a dilemma on the Thompson fit in that formation. There's also an argument.
Yeah.
There's also an argument. There's a dilemma of fitting Horahan in that formation.
Agree.
Because we saw pace, Simon. We saw pace and skill. Again, I say to Derby County fans, watch the two goals again. Watch the two goals and see what the difference is when you put pace and skill onto the pitch. And I just think that he's not brave enough to go. He wasn't brave enough. I would have much rather have him gone to Carlisle, Simon, with the same. All right, there's an argument about the Nelson situation. I get that. There's a couple of positions at the back you can tweak. Bradley for Nelson, etc.
All right, yeah.
But in general, the forward line, I would have put Waggy on the bench. I'd have said, Martin, I want to carry on working on this formation because I really liked what I saw. He'd have said, boss, we're here to win. I'm there and ready for you. I just think he's now found his formation. We all liked the football we saw, and then we reverts away from it. And that is what is causing this split between the fans. Some fans just want, we all want out of the league. If we get out of the league playing this boring football, which we won't,
industrial football, we'll
and, we won't, Simon. Let's be honest. Eric Steele's even said the same. Eric Steele said, if we carry on playing this style of football, we will struggle to get in the top six.
It's six words, Chris. Keep the ball on the deck.
Yeah. Be brave. Go for skill. Go for pace. Go for ability. The fans will back you 100% whatever you play, Paul Warne, because Derby County fans are the best in the world. I'm not a negative fan. I'm wanting to see a product. And I saw it on Tuesday. And then it got taken away from me on Saturday. It got taken away from you, Simon, Saturday. Some people are taking the 3 points in return. I want both. Why can't I have both? Stop giving me excuses, fans, about it's League One. They play good football in League One. We saw it on Tuesday. Stop giving me excuses that it's our budget. We've got a great squad. Stop giving me excuses.
The thing was, I agreed with Nick last week when I said we could be in this league for a couple of seasons. It does need a rebuild. You know, we are struggling. You know, we've only got 1-2 year deals on. And I agree with Nick last week because I felt looking at the football we were playing, maybe that's where we are. But then you come out and you give a performance like you do against Lincoln, and it makes you change your mind again. Because you go, well, hang about, where's this Derby County been? But then it comes to Carlisle and you go, why are we back to this again? It's frustrating. It's frustrating being a Derby fan because I want us to get promoted. You want us to get promoted. All the fan base want us to get promoted. But we just look at it in a way where you go, at the end of the day, that football is going to beat teams like Carlisle. That football is going to beat teams like Burton, perhaps. That football is going to beat teams like Fleetwood. But when you come up with teams like Barnsley, Peterborough, Peterborough, I suppose it did work, but we didn't play that kind of football against Peterborough. Portsmouth, Bolton, Exeter. That football isn't going to work. So it's just a case, as you said, Chris, being consistent, playing a style of football. Let's be honest, you look at that team, the majority of that team, a lot of it was signed last season by Liam Senior / Wayne Rooney, you know, whoever signed them. You know, as we heard off Kieran a couple of podcasts ago, that Rooney put most of them signings in motion. He signed footballers. He signed players that want to play with the ball on the floor. And in fairness, if you look at the likes of Kane Wilson, who wants the ball on the floor, Joe Ward wants the ball on the floor. Why are we buying players that want to play football, but then telling them not to play football, telling them to get it high and wide and into the box?
Exactly. And this, that is bang on. And this goes back to what we've been saying against all the people who have been criticising me in particular and the podcast about us being negative. We're not being negative. It's been proven that we have the players to succeed in this league with style. Because if we get out of this league somehow with the stuff we're playing now, Simon, what happens? We come straight back.
Straight back down.
Oh, and Paul Warren's got that history, remember? Ipswich are proving, again, they have a fantastic coach. Duff, isn't it? No, not Duff. It's, I can't think of his name now. They've played the same style of football with pretty much the same squad. They're not frightened of who they're playing against. They believe in their football. And if I remember rightly, the second behind Leicester.
Kieran McKenna's there, Kieran.
Kieran McKenna, that's right. And it's wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm.
I think Plymouth hit seven and Morgan Whittaker get a hat-trick or six at the weekend with a guy Schumacher.
They battered Norwich, didn't they? Six,
yeah.
Two.
Against yeah, Norwich. And again, Whittaker got a hat-trick. You know, and this is Schumacher, another young coach who is stuck to his guns, and they're playing really nice attacking football. And they're not frightened of who they're playing against. And they haven't gone out and spent millions, Simon. If you look at their squad, it's virtually the same. Ipswich is virtually the same. Derby County do not need to sign players that are... just for the sake of signing, we're not asking for that. What we're saying is there are certain elements within the building now that are just not being used that should now be able to be used. You have to take Washington out of the starting 11. His style of football will not work, Simon, with what we saw on Tuesday. Waggy will struggle. Horihan will struggle with it. Unfortunately...
I'm just looking at Ipswich, sorry. In fairness, what they've done, obviously McKenna, wasn't he at Man United?
He has a background.
I'm pretty sure he was at Man United, but what he's done is he's signed youth players from Man United, which worked. You know, he signed like the likes of Brandon Williams, Axel Tuanzebe. He knows that market, and what he's done then is basically the squad. He's obviously got the squad that went up last season. He's added a bit of youth to that to go with the experience. He's finding that balance, and it's working at the minute, isn't it? So, and for me, we obviously touched on it last week about Paul Warner and youth development. That's something that he's probably not used to.
Never done. Not used to it.
So it's, yeah.
He's got the chance of something special with, without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest club outside the Championship. Probably one of the biggest clubs outside the Premier League.
That was it. McKenna worked under, was the assistant under Jose Mourinho.
There you go.
So, yeah. But you've got to think about Ipswich. They have they basically, if you remember when they first went down, they bought in a shitload of players. Absolute bucket loads. Didn't work for them. Did the same thing the next season. Didn't work for them. They finally sort of worked out that you have to buy a balanced squad of players that have played above the level, players that may have played below, and players that maybe younger players. They've got pedigree, and you need the right coach. You've got to get a mixture of all three right. Currently, we've found it difficult, especially in recruitment wise. We've gone out and bought plenty of players that have played above this league, this level. And I just think it is about balance. And like you said, at the minute, look at this squad and go, if we got promoted out of this league this year, played this. As you said, as I said, industrial style of football, would we stay in the Championship next year? The likelihood is not. I don't think we would.
No, I think you're right. And goes back to what we said about recruitment. I would have much rather recruited six or seven. Nick disagreed. I think he misunderstood what I said. I think he was saying on Twitter that he thought I said that I'd have had 11 21, 22-year-olds. That's not what I said. I said I'd have had a majority of signers through the door of young and potential, and you balance it with experience, because the more they play, the better they get. But what they have got is that engine, and they've got the willingness and the ability to learn and get better. And wouldn't you be crying out now for a couple of 21, 22-year-olds to add to that, who are fully fit, to add to that style of football we saw on Tuesday? And
yeah, definitely.
Well, you could say we've got Bird and we've got Thompson to come into that, but I'm on about the style. I want about that quick transition, wonderful blend of football and skill. Like I said, it was exciting, and then I just got pummeled with that shite on Saturday. And yet people are saying it's a win and it's results that matter. No, it doesn't. Short term, it doesn't. Long term, you need consistency.
We need an identity. That's what we've not got. I don't think we've got an identity at the minute, which is weird considering he's been with us, what, a year, 12 months or 12 months now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we haven't got an identity.
Yeah. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter. Identity is a great way of ending the show because we're just asking for identity. People always talk about the Billy Davis season. Yeah, we got promoted, but ultimately the football was shit. And what happened? He didn't get backed. The club wasn't ready for it. We came down like history said. We were so excited about what we saw in the McLaren in 13-14. Let's be honest, with the Nigel Clough squad. He tinkered, he added a couple to it, but Nigel Clough put it together. The football had an identity very, very quickly. Clough's frame was there for all to see. You could see what he was trying to do. He made the club solid. They were very difficult to beat. What McLaren did, he gave them an identity and changed some things against Ipswich, and we never looked back, did we? I just want Paul Warren to accept that what he saw Tuesday was the best Derby are, the best they can be at the moment with that style and flair. Lincoln weren't great, but I tell you what, if you still play that football against 80% of the clubs that are in this league now, you'll get in the top six. You will not get in the top six with the football you played Saturday, Simon, and that's my final hoo-ha of the evening. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with it, to be honest. I was, as I said before, I was shocked at the difference. You know, like I say, I felt the first half we did play some football, and I felt, right, okay, we switched team round, but then the second half we just reverted to type. A win's a win, I get it. And I, you know, happy that we got a win. It makes your weekend. But someone put it in the comments last week. Sorry, I'd not done a questions and answer section this week. I'd never got a chance to put a video out because I was busy at work today. But someone put it last week. When can I just sit back and enjoy my weekend with Derby again, playing football?
Good point.
And that's pretty much it. That's all we want to see. We just want to see Derby play football. If you win, you win. Happy days. But if you, you know, but at some point, the reason, and this is for me, is the reason why people are getting on Paul Warren's back is because he's playing dross football. And when we lose and play dross football or draw, Warren out. If we play good football, well, you know, unlucky. It happens.
Absolutely, 100%. That's what I said on the show tonight, Radio Derby. The Derby County fans love good football, and they will stand on those seats and they'll be clapping those guys off the pitch every, you know, you accept you'll lose 1-0 here and there. I remember we beat Norwich 1-0 at their place with a free kick that Rooney scored, and I think we had something like
last ever goal, that was.
Yeah, and I think we had about 19% possession, if I remember rightly. You're going to get teams come to Derby, and now and then that's going to happen. But I tell you what, if they lose 1-0 and absolutely battered them and played them off the park and had 25 shots on target and the keeper's had a worldie, the fans will come back in their droves. But at the moment, the fans will not come back in their droves. And don't be blinded by results, because those results are against teams that will not be challenging in the top eight, never mind three or six. So that's all I'll say. It's not negative. It's... People keep saying to me, have a reality check about where the club is. And I was saying it back, have a reality check on how poor the football is. That's all I'm saying in return. We've both agreed, Simon, the squad is capable by far. If you get the square pegs and square holes, irrelevant to the injuries, the square pegs are still there. And I think it's been a great debate.
Give me a prediction for Saturday then, at home to Cambridge.
Oh, do you know what? I have a feeling... He might be listening to us on the show tonight and go Brave. I think he has to go Brave. I'm going 3-0. I think Barkhuizen starts. I think Barkhuizen scores. I think I'm with you. I think Sibley starts. I think Sibley scores. And I just think there's going to be a dead ball goal. So I'm going to go for Erin Cashin, 3-0.
Nice. I'm in the same boat as you. I think we're going to play some good football. I hope he's going to revert to the Lincoln style. I'm going to go 2-0 again to Derby. I'm going to go Collins. I think he's going to continue his form. And I'm going to go again with Barkhuizen. So, yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully we do get a win. Chris, thank you for your time again this evening. It's been a good chat. And, yeah, I've enjoyed it, mate. I've enjoyed it. It's been good to talk about a couple of wins. It's been good to analyse the good points and the bad points. You know, we've had some good individual performances. Nelson, Collins, Nyambi, Wilson, Barkhuizen, Sibley. Look at them players we've named there. All in good form at the minute.
We're frustrated because we know we can now see we can play football, Paul Warne. Don't change it. Be brave. Play the football. If it means putting a team out there that we're not familiar with, but it works, I don't give a monkey's bottom.
Exactly. So, yeah. We'll finish it on that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Chris, thank you for your time. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Follow Chris on Twitter at DCFC_CMH. Follow me on Facebook, Rams Right Podcast, TikTok, Rams Right Podcast as well. And we shall see you next week. Remember to give us feedback. We love it when you do. So, yeah, thank you very much. And as always, come on, Derby.